We are live on Facebook. Hello, friends. This is the coolest thing. We are here on today's episode of Margaritas with Margarita Cheng, CFP Pro, with the CEO of, wait for it, Meetup, David Siegel. We are so excited. Who doesn't know Meetup? Who doesn't love Meetup? I've done it in every city that I've been in. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of the show, founder of the Incandescent PR and Publishing Company. And I just can't wait for this conversation. So take it away, Rita Cheng.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction. And David, I am so excited for you to be here. Now, I have two copies of David's book. I bought a copy and then he sent me a copy. And the reason why I have so much respect for the amazing work that David does is David and I had the opportunity to work together when he was the CEO of Investopedia. And so without further ado, let's hear from David. So David, thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to be here. I'm so glad you're such a fan of Meetup, Hope, and Rita. This is going to be great. Looking forward to this.
So, pivoting strategies. What did Meetup do when they couldn't meet in person during the pandemic?
Okay. So first, let's talk about what the term pivot means. And it's really important. In sports, oftentimes, people will pivot their foot. In a pivot, you have your heel planted on the ground and you're moving your foot like this. The reason why that's so important is that you're not whole scale changing, you're pivoting. There's something that's going to be consistent. For us at Meetup, what was always consistent was our mission. Our mission around curing the loneliness epidemic. That we knew we couldn't pivot away from. How we achieved that, what the tactic or the strategy was, well, that's a different story. So what happened in February of 2020, as probably many people remember, is we started seeing like 95% of our events in China disappear just overnight, canceled. RSVPs canceled. Then suddenly we're like, oh, it's going to, you know, this could happen in, you know, only in China, maybe something like the Asian flu or SARS, you know, terrible, terrible tragedies, but it was isolated to Asia. And then we started seeing in Italy. Oh my gosh, what just happened in Italy? 95% of events just got canceled in Italy, like overnight. This isn't going to happen in the US. Of course it happened in the US. Meetup was one of the first companies to have a COVID case. Have one of our employees in Old Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. We shut Meetup down. We got everyone together. And then we said, what are we about? Are we about IRL, which stands for in real life, or are we about keeping people connected? What do we need to do to pivot the company? And the answer was, we're about connections. We're not just about in person. We quickly enabled for the first time to allow for any group to have a completely 100% virtual group. Since that time, we've had over 4 million online events in the last 2 years. And frankly, Meetup and community is even more important during times of isolation during this pandemic than it probably was even beforehand. So you never want to pivot your mission. You want to pivot the strategy and the tactics around that mission. Our mission stayed the same, but we had to figure out how to do it. And that took a lot of pushback from people who said, no, we're about IRL. No, we're about connections for people.
I really love how you explain pivot with the foot on the ground. And so yes, you are adapting, but you're staying true to your mission. So you know that I did read, because there's some green tabs here too. There are 44 decisions that will make or break leaders. I know we can't cover all. That's why people need to read the book. But what are some of the decision-making best practices that you address in the book? If you had to pick three.
Three. Okay, here we go. I'll try to do it. So it's like, which of your children do you love the most? Your children the most, but that's okay. We'll choose three. So here's the first one. I think people sometimes get lack an understanding of the differences between being kind and being nice. And people think the goal is to be nice. The goal is not to have anyone ever upset, to be as nice a person as possible. The problem with that is that it's very hard to lead in being nice because sometimes people have difference of opinion. You don't want to just always just say, okay, let's compromise. If you're only focused on being nice, you would never say to someone, it's time to move on. Being kind is actually more important than being nice. So for example, going to someone and saying, I don't know if this is the job for you. I know that you're feeling stressed. I know you're feeling frustrated. It could be the kindest thing to do to tell people to look for another job. And making a decision, it's more important to be kind than to be nice. And if there's tension, if there's stress, that's okay, because sometimes being kind, like you want your friends to be kind to you. If you got something wrong, you want them to tell you about it. Sometimes having to let go of employees isn't nice to do, but you have to find the kindest way to do it. So number one, when making a decision, is find a way to be kind, not necessarily just trying to nice and then end up not making any decisions. That's kind of my first one. The second one I would say is the importance of surrounding yourselves by people who disagree with you in order to make more effective decisions. You know, the famous thing about Abraham Lincoln, who surrounded himself with a team of rivals. If you surround yourself by yes people, everyone just says yes, yes, yes around you. If the way that you hire people, for example, is do they pass the beer test, which is essentially, do I want to have a beer with this person? That's not the right way to make a decision. The right way to make a decision is actually to want people around you who are going to disagree, where there's going to be a tension, who complement your skill sets. And if you're strong in sales, another person might be strong in tech, or you're strong in operations, the other person might be strong in vision. Find people there's going to be a tension. If you're the same type of people and surround yourself all the same people, well, that diversity is never going to lead to great decisions, great results. So the second thing I would say is the importance of disagreement in order to make decisions. The last one I would say is a quote by Teddy Roosevelt, which I really love, which is the best decision is a great decision. The second best decision is a bad decision. And the worst decision is
no decision.
No decision. No decision is the worst. So be speedy. The importance of making, we've all worked with people. We've worked for people. We have clients as financial advisors. We have family where people are just stuck and they can't make a decision. And sometimes they never, if you don't make a decision, you can't go out there and learn from the decision, because the important thing is learning. So being speedy allows you to get out there with a decision, may not be the right one. It's probably going to be the wrong one. And then to learn from it, and then to iterate from the decision, and then learn from that, and then to iterate for the decision. If you don't get out there with a speedy decision, you're never going to learn, and you're going to have paralysis analysis, et cetera. So be speedy with your decisions, be kind with your decisions, and in decision-making, have disagreement around you. Those are my three. We're not going to go through all 44. Don't worry.
No, that's perfect. So we know the power of community. Share your thoughts about the power and impact of community on business and life in general.
Okay, wow. Okay, so I would say they're very related, life in general and business. So in regards to community, the biggest fear in this world, I think, is loneliness. 46% of people, believe it or not, regularly feel lonely. Not occasionally, not sometimes, but regularly feel lonely. And among people who are Gen Zers, people who are in their early 20s, late teens, up to 25, I believe, the percentage of people feeling lonely is 62% of people regularly feel lonely. Community and meetup specifically is the cure for the loneliness epidemic. The things that happen when people are lonely, depression, anxiety, extreme things that people could potentially do in highly depressed kind of situations, it's terrifying. And from a personal perspective, community is the thing that keeps people and drives happiness, frankly, in the world. Community drives learning in the world. From a professional standpoint, I have had 7 jobs in my life as a CEO of Meetup before this, CEO of Investopedia, but I'm old, I'm 47, so I've had a whole bunch of different jobs. And not that 47's old, by the way. I'm just joking for anyone who's over 47. 47's young, always young. But I've gotten every single job through community. I have gotten, my career has grown because of community. So when I think about community, and I'll just tell you a quick story, which is the power of community. I know a meetup organizer who has 2 groups. One of them is a bowling group, and that another one is a networking group. He ended up getting his last 2 jobs from the bowling group, and he found his like best friend in the networking group. But what that kind of like tells me is that overlap of the personal and the professional. Community helps with learning. Community helps with careers. Community helps with friendships. The number one search term in 2021 on Meetup was finding adult friends. It's not easy. It shouldn't be about going to bars. Community helps with such a myriad of different ways in which you can make your life more happy and meaningful. Clearly, I'm a big fan.
Of course. And the shirt, Meetup. So David, as you know, we knew each other from when you were a CEO of Investopedia. You are CEO of Meetup today. And what I thought was so fascinating is you shared your professional journey. Share with us your path to become a tech CEO, because you've worked at a lot of exciting companies.
Yeah, okay, sure. So I think the most probably surprising thing about my path in terms of a tech CEO is that I started off in human resources. And that's not so common. Most people start in product or sales or marketing because those are the front-facing areas in a company that drive revenue and drive growth. I had worked in human resources for an HR consulting firm, and I was an early employee at a company called DoubleClick, which ended up getting acquired by Google for $2 billion. And I was an HR partner. And it was funny because I remember meeting with the CEO of DoubleClick, a guy named Kevin Ryan, who, if you read the book, is a person also that saved Meetup, you know, the book Decide and Conquer. So he said to me one time, he said, David, as CEO, here's the things that I focus on: hiring great people, training people to, you know, develop, managing an building management processes to have people succeed, making sure the organizational chart is kind of strategic aligned to the business. Those are the exact same things you work on in HR. You too could be a CEO one day. And I was like, nah, that's never going to happen. So it's actually an interesting path. So I was in human resources. I decided to go to business school, went to Wharton because I wanted to learn hard skills in marketing and finance. Then I wanted to do the opposite of consulting. Is at one point where consultants are working in retail, in a pharmacy chain, which is very like, you know, nitty gritty. I worked for 1-800-Flowers, an executive over there for about 5 years, running mergers and acquisitions for the company and marketing, and a bunch of different businesses reported into me. And then I became the president of Seeking Alpha. People that know finance might know Seeking Alpha as well. And then ultimately my first CEO opportunity, which was very exciting, to be a CEO of Investopedia, the world's largest financial education business. I was there for 4.5 years. We ended up selling the company, which has a story attached to that as well, which you could read in the book. And then ultimately, Adam Neumann and WeWork came a knocking and said, hey, would you like to be the first outside CEO of Meetup? And as Hope had referenced right in the beginning, I loved Meetup. I had always been going to Meetup events, and I was just like, oh, can't pass that down. So that's what happened. And I, you know, here we are now.
I love it. I love it. It's just such an amazing journey because HR really is about people, and we need people to lead organizations, which is a great way to transition to the next question. So what is your general approach to leadership and radical transparency?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So we have a number of core values at Meetup, and one of them is called trust and transparency. So I once had an opportunity to sit with the famous Jack Welch, who was listed by Time Magazine as the 20th century manager of the entire, not decade, not year, but entire century. So, and I said to him, you're the best manager ever. What can you teach us? He's like, the number one most important thing is build trust. Whether you're a financial advisor, whether you're in any role, in any leadership role or individual contributor role, it's all about trust. And the best way to build trust, he said, is through transparency. Share everything, overshare. Make your legal and HR team be a little bit uncomfortable with how much you're willing to share. So for example, when I arrived at Meetup, no one knew the financials. The company was losing $20 million a year. It had lost a previous over $45 million in the previous 3 years. Everyone was just spending money like crazy, barbecues, $100,000 holiday parties. No one cared, no one knew. Everyone was dumb as happy. And I came in and I said, here are our financials. This is not sustainable. I want to share these with, and they're like, we had no idea. It's not their fault. Leadership wasn't fully transparent with everything that was going on. And I talked about WeWork and the challenges in WeWork's culture. And I was transparent about that. And I think when you do that, you build trust. And ultimately, you know, it could cause people to be a little bit more nervous, but ideally people should, you know, in reality, people should be most nervous when they don't actually have access to information. That's when they should be most nervous. So maybe be nervous if you hear some information because of an overly transparent leader, but be more nervous if you don't know enough information.
No, I love that, because how can you make decisions with misinformation or missing information?
Okay, so Rita, I have to riff on that, what you just said, which is ultimately, you know, again, the book and everything is about making smart decisions. What would happen at Meetup a lot of times is they made terrible decisions because they didn't have access to all the same information. And when people have asymmetrical, inconsistent access to information, the marketing team knows this information, the product team knows this information, the editorial team knows this information, then they all come up with different suggestions. And then there's lots of fighting. Well, the reason for that is because they all have different pieces of information. So at Meetup and at Investopedia, we said there's not a single report that I have access to that not every employee could get access to as well. We had weekly meetings at Investopedia with all employees. We have every other week meetings. We had weekly, now it's every other week meetings at Meetup with all employees as well, just to share everything. We have Ask the CEO, we have anything meetings. We have manager listening sessions, employee listening sessions. I said to someone recently, like, a CEO's job is kind of chief communications officer. And if you're doing that, then chances are you can make some, everything ends up usually being figured out, because communications isn't about talking. Communications is also about, like, really, like, I'm doing a lot right now, sorry, but it's also about, like, listening and absorbing and getting feedback. And that's real communication.
No, absolutely. I love it. So, David, of course, we want everybody. I'm going to decide and conquer. But how can people find your work? Share website, social media handles.
Okay, sure. So first, you can look me up on LinkedIn. Just type in David Siegel, Meetup. You'll find me. I'll accept your invite because I love linking with people. That's great. Twitter, at David Meier Siegel. My middle name is spelled M-E-I-R, last name Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L. You can find me on Twitter. Facebook, you certainly could find me. And if you want my email, here it is, david@meetup.com. Share anything with me. I'd love to hear from you. And if in terms of the book, you can get it on Amazon. This audiobook is actually quite excellent. So if you enjoy only listening to books or Kindle books, you can get that on Amazon as well. So really, and for Meetup, by the way, I would say the best thing to do is, and Hope, I don't know if you do this, if you use a website, but download the app. The app is just excellent on iOS, on Android, and just scroll through and just find something that's your passion, find something your interest. Doesn't matter what it is, we probably have it on Meetup, and meet amazing people through that, and hopefully, you know, grow as a person.
Well, thank you so much. It's a wrap. Now, Hope, back to you.
Thank you. Well, I am just so impressed by you, Dave. That was fantastic. Now, both of you, hold up the book so that everybody can see.
Yes.
All right. Decide and conquer, man. This is great. 44 stories. I can't wait to hear that. And David, just to share again what you said about the importance of being kind as instead of nice, right? Your authentic self versus your social self, right? I'm a huge fan of that concept. So I can't wait to share this book, share this video. Thank you, Ms. Rita. You're fantastic as always. And thank you, sir, for joining us today. Audience, thank you for joining us for Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro. I'm Hope Katz Gibbs, producer of her show and founder of Incandescent PR and Publishing. We look forward to seeing you all very soon. Go check out meetup.com. We'll talk to you. Thank you so much for being part of our Incandescent Radio and TV family. This is Hope Katz Gibbs, founder of Incandescent Incorporated, the PR and publishing company for women entrepreneurs. Our Incandescent Radio and TV shows are brought to you by our advertisers and clients. Margaritas with Margarita Chang, CFP Pro, brings us 15 minutes of tips every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Facebook Live, where you'll meet experts who are helping us flex our financial muscles. Find all of the episodes at margaritachang.com. You'll also meet intuitive psychotherapist Kara Keem, who interviews therapists and other intuitive guides from around the world. Learn more at karakeem.com. And you're going to love social justice expert Karen Hanrahan, CEO of the San Francisco-based Glide Memorial Foundation. She bridges the gap from local impact to global change on her thought leadership show on Incandescent Radio. Learn more about Karen at karenhanrahan.com. You're also going to love Alina Leal, founder of the radical wellness journaling company, zenitjournals.com. Alina asks, have you tried to journal but found it hard to keep up? Zenit makes it easier to journal for your wellness. With Zenit, you can customize your journal with prompts that speak to you. No more blank pages. Your Zenit is your personalized space to take care of yourself. Website, zenitjournals.com. Feel it, write it, Zenit. You'll also meet amazing Tracy Schott, founder of voicesforchange.com. Tracy is determined to change the world and end domestic violence. Learn more at voicesforchange.net. And we are so thrilled to be publishing a book for Angela Mitchell, who is the tech expert of case management. And she's also the founder of this fabulous organization, Kids Code 2. She is determined to teach kids to code computers. Talk about teaching a kid to fish. We invite you to discover and peruse all the Incandescent Incorporated websites, the magazine for women, by women, about women, incandescentwomen.com. Our health and wellness magazine is beincandescent.com, the business of mind, body, spirit, soul, and heart. Our YouTube channel is incandescent.tv, and you can learn about our PR and book publishing services at incandescent.us. If you'd like to have your own radio and video show, check us out at incandescentradio.com, where you can see what we can do for you. These podcasts are also featured on iTunes, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. Our podcasts are produced by Brandy Wilsker. Our videos are produced by Nelson Benavides. Our website developer is Max Kukoy, and our incandescent illustrator and designer is Michael Glenwood Gibbs. If you'd like to learn more, please send me an email, hope@hopegibbs.com. Here is to your incredible, indelible incandescent success. Much love and many thanks.